Welcome to Odd Directions. I'm DodgeThis82. Today, I am going to be reading the short story, My Last Concert, written by Lane's grandma. If you would like to check out more information from the author and I, you can find links in the description below. Well, let's get started. My Last Concert by Lane's grandma. The 70s live music scene was wild. My friends and I managed to see so many live performances because of general admission. It meant standing or sitting in the aisles between seats, so we didn't get in until everyone else got seated. It was also cheap. We loved it. We called ourselves Gin Adders. I got general admission to see a band loved around the world. The closest place on their tour was Ferretti's Mountain View in the U.S. It was only a 4-hour drive in a city I'd never visited. None of my friends can get the time off work to go with me, but I knew I'd meet people once I got there. The ticket said doors open at 7 p.m., the ticket seller said doors usually open at 3 o'clock. On the morning of the show, I joined a few dozen early arrival Gin Adders at the side of the Mountain View. A few thousand came in after us, blocking us in as usual. I passed the time with Sly from Minnesota. He was a short, energetic guy. Despite his height, he was hard to miss. His bright red jacket was unique. The band's name was on the sleeves and the back. This was his third time seeing the band on this tour alone. I knew quite a bit about them, but this dude's knowledge was legendary. Doors did not open at 3 o'clock. The crowd behind us randomly chatted, "Let us in," and "Can't stop us." There might have been other chants. Those are the two I remember in detail. Still, like Sly whispered, the ticket said 7 p.m., so we'd all agreed to that when we bought them. By 6 o'clock, I really felt the cold. I'd been up for 12 hours. Maybe fatigue made me more susceptible to the weather, or maybe it was adrenaline. Sly sniffed and said he hoped the staff would open the door soon. He looked cold, and I knew he hadn't eaten for hours. I offered him 2 chocolate bars, and he gave me a smoke. I lit up with the first lighter I found in my pocket. It was in a leather holder and strap that went around your hand, so it was hard to lose the lighter. Sly called it the Never Lose Me lighter, and said he loved it. I knew I could get another one, so I offered it to him. We both laughed when he said he'd keep it for life. At 7:05, we hadn't heard anything about getting in. I told Sly to stay put while I tried to get closer to the doors to see if there were signs. He nodded and made an exaggerated wave with the lighter holder firmly attached to his left hand. That stuck in my memory. It was when I realized he was left-handed. That's what we call left-dominant back then. I got 2 steps away from him, closer to the doors, when I heard a few bars of music. Either the band was warming up or the gig was starting. The doors for Gin Adders were still closed, no signs visible. I was turning around to go back to Sly when I heard a low rumble. By the time I was able to turn all the way around, I realized the rumble wasn't coming from the Mountain View's music system. It was the wall of people running towards me. Now, I'd spent the previous 2 summers spelunking, potholing, caving, exploring cave systems. I'd never feared being trapped or being closed in a small space. Caves are logical and unemotional. They rarely close in on people who respect them. At the risk of stating the obvious, people are nothing like caves. The human battering rams running at me showed no respect. They were running over people already on the ground and pushing over anyone who wasn't moving faster than them. I looked for Sly. He was 2 steps from me, both arms raised. He nodded when the guy behind him punched the back of his head. He fell, arms still raised. His left hand landed inches from my feet. My best guess is he was unconscious or dead before he hit the ground. At least, that's my hope. Blood began pooling around his head and bright red jacket almost as soon as his unprotected face hit the pavement. I remember making a screaming face. I don't know if any noise came out of my mouth. I wanted to pick him up, give him some dignity, even if I couldn't save him, but the wall of people would not stop. Before I could bend to touch him, people hit me so hard they knocked the air out of me. I fell backwards into someone behind me. That person screamed, unable to push me off them. The dude I just met was dead, and the crowd was about to do what the caves did not. I was going to die, along with countless others. I woke in the hospital the next day. My injuries, including a broken left arm, broken left foot, and dislocated ribs, were not serious, and I was released that afternoon. Dad and Kyle, my oldest brother, met me at discharge. Kyle drove me home in Dad's car, and Dad drove my car back. I felt so guilty. I still feel guilty. 4 decades and years of therapy later. I never learned Sly's real name, so I couldn't contact his family. They had a right to know what a great dude he was. But police here said U.S. police couldn't release the name at the family's request. You gotta honor that. Gone, Sly. I hope we meet again.
Thank you so much for listening to my reading of the short story, My Last Concert, written by Lane's grandma. If you would like to read the story yourself, there is a link in the description. You can leave me a message through Anchor if you would like. And if you would like to see a YouTube narration instead, you have that option as well. All right. Well, I will catch you on the next page.